Welcome on into the Jazz Talk Podcast. I'm your host, CJ Dieters. Today's episode, we're going to be looking further into Quinn Snyder leaving the Jazz. We'll talk about the candidates that so far have been listed as possible replacements for Quinn Snyder. And then today is a Q&A episode. If you want to be a part of one of these Q&A episodes, follow us on Instagram at Wasatch Basketball Pod. Every now and then, we'll put something in our story asking for questions for the episode, but we'll be answering some of those that we got for today's episode. So the reason I haven't recorded this episode earlier is I'm still very surprised by the fact that Quinn Snyder left, and just really have no idea what to think about what Danny Ainge is possibly going to do with this team. As far as, you know, moving on from Rudy or Donovan, who he's going to hire as a coach. There's just so much going on with the Jazz right now that it's kind of a lot to take in. you know, Quinn Snyder was a guy that I thought would be with the Jazz for, you know, 25 years. I thought he was going to be our Greg Popovich. But, you know, that being said, I guess the Jazz organization already got their Greg Popovich with Jerry Sloan. But, you know, Quinn Snyder was a great coach for this team. He coached the team for 8 years. Second winningest coach in Jazz history behind Jerry Sloan, of course. You know, the first 2 years he was here, they're very, very young team. They're rebuilding. Really, all they had was Gordon Hayward and Derek Favors at the time. And Enes Kanter, Alec Burks were part of that team, Trey Burke. But there, you know, there really wasn't anybody that was pushing this team to a bunch of wins. Rudy Gobert eventually emerged. They made a trade to send out Enes Kanter, which they were able to use the pick they got from that to get Ricky Rubio, and they were eventually on their way, and Quinn got the Jazz to the NBA playoffs 6 years in a row. They made it to the second round three times. You know, never really pushed for the Western Conference Finals. Definitely were never, you know, in the finals, but very successful run for the Jazz in the time that Quinn Snyder was the head coach. So with that being said, you know, I wish Quinn Snyder the best. I hope that he's coaching again, you know, relatively soon. I think it'd be good for him to take some time off, be with his kids. You know, he talked about during the press conference about going to Halloween with his daughter, you know, because he hasn't been able to do that the whole time he's been a head coach. So I really wish the best for him. I'd love to see him as the Jazz coach still. But, you know, sometimes you know, like he said, you have to move on. The time is just right. So with that being said, the Jazz have opened up their, anyway, they're trying to find the new coach. And they have really cast a really wide net in what they're trying to find. I'll list it off and we'll sit here and count it. I think it's 13 guys. So former head coaches that have been listed as guys that are going to interview with the Jazz. Yeah, Frank Vogel and Terry Stotts. I think both of them would be good options. All the rest are guys that have coached either as assistant coaches in the NBA or have had been coaches in the G League, or both. So we have Alex Jensen, who was a coach under Quinn Snyder for a long time. He's the one that got Rudy Gobert really to the point where Rudy is. You got Johnny Bryant, used to work for the Jazz, now is an assistant coach for the Knicks. He's probably Donovan Mitchell's favorite candidate out of all of them. You have Will Hardy, an assistant coach for the Celtics, was an assistant coach under Greg Popovich for a number of years. Moved on to the Celtics when kind of realized that Popovich wasn't immediately going to retire and that job was going to become open. Joe Mazzulla from the Celtics, which I don't even know how he said it, but David Locke messed up his name ridiculously. Like, David Locke messes up a lot of names. Go find the episode and listen to how he says the last name Mazzulla. Anyway, Joe Mazzulla was a great college player, played a lot in Europe, couldn't quite make it to the NBA. Only 32 years old, so he'd be, you know, him and a couple of these other guys would be really young head coaches to get their first opportunity. Yeah, Chris Quinn with the Heat. He's also, I think, in his early 30s. And he's been coaching under Eric Spoelstra, who might be the best coach in the league for a number of years. So let's see, we're up to 7 there. Okay, so you have Charles Lee from the Bucks. You know, he's been coaching under Budenholzer for a while, so we have 8. Adrian Griffin played in the NBA, has been an assistant in Toronto for a while behind Nick Nurse. There's Jason Terry, who played in the NBA for a long time. I think he played like 17 or 18 seasons. Had a great career, and now he's the head coach of the Grand Rapids. I think they're the Drive. Anyway, it's the Pistons G League team. So now we're up to 10 already there. Sean Sweeney from the Mavericks. he was Jason Kidd's head assistant this last year. I can't think of what his name is. They just added another one from the Raptors. So that's 12. And then Kevin Young from the Suns, you know, who's been coaching under Monty Williams for a little while. So there's 13 guys so far that have been listed as possible candidates to replace Quinn Snyder. And there could be more coming. Like, it doesn't have to end at these, you know, 13 guys. They could still be looking for more candidates. So Danny Ainge is really, like I said, cast a wide net. He really wants to figure out exactly who's going to be the best coach for this team. So he's leaving no stone unturned, which makes me happy. You know, I'm glad that, you know, the Jazz are really taking this seriously, because they know, you know, that Jazz coaches stay in their position for a long time. You have to get it right, you know. I can't remember the name of the guy, but there was the first coach of the Jazz, and then there was Frank Layden. And Layden was with the team for, I think it was like 12, 14 seasons, something like that, a really long time. Now, the team wasn't very good back then, because they had just came over from New Orleans. You know, if you think it's hard to get free agents to come to Utah now, it was ridiculous with when Frank Layden was the head coach there. Just nobody wanted to come to Utah. The Jazz drafted Dominique Wilkins, and he basically forced his way out to get to Atlanta. And then Jerry Sloan took over. He wasn't the head coach for over 20 years. Between Sloan and Snyder, there was Ty Corbin. You know, he just kind of got thrust into the job because Jerry Sloan retired mid-season. So he coached the rest of that season. He coached the next season, and the Jazz decided to move on from him. And then Quinn Snyder was a coach for 8 years. So it's in their history that the Jazz pick the right head coach, and they hold on to him for a long time. And I think that's exactly what the Jazz would like to do again here. You know, you see these teams that never make the playoffs, or they have a hard time making the playoffs, or they're never even close to being a contender for, you know, decades at a time, like the Kings right now. Kings haven't made the playoffs in, I think, 16 years, and they, you know, they'll go through a coach every 2 years. You know, you see it in the NFL too. If a team is constantly firing and hiring new coaches, there's a really high probability that they're not a very good team. So let's talk a little bit about these candidates. I'm just going to pull out a few. Now, who I'm talking about, you know, it may be somebody completely different that ends up being the head coach, but I want to talk about the guys that I think probably have the best chance of getting the job. So first off, Terry Stotts. Terry Stotts is 62 years old. He coached the Portland Trailblazers for 9 seasons. Before that, he was a coach in Atlanta and a coach in Milwaukee. Had really good success with the Trailblazers. You know, they got to the Western Conference Finals one year. They kept making it to about the second round of the playoffs. Under his leadership, you know, Damian Lillard became a superstar. CJ McCollum became a really good player. So if you wanted to go the guy that has head coaching experience route, Terry Stotts would be a really good option. He's very smart, very analytical, a lot like Quinn Snyder. He's a lot more laid back than Quinn is, though. And, you know, that was one of the things that I think was one of the reasons that Quinn decided to step down, is he was so intense and so hyper-focused. It looked like he aged 10 years every single season. You know, you'd get to the beginning of the year, you know, and he's 56, but he never looked that old. So let's say beginning of the season, he looks 42. By the time you got to the playoffs, you know, the not sleeping, the late nights, the constantly so stressed out, focused on basketball and on the Jazz team, he'd look, you know, 52. By the time you got to the end of the season, he'd get the summer off. He'd come back looking younger, well rested again. And so I worried about Quinn Snyder's health. And so Terry Stotts, I think, is a guy that, you know, he's definitely going to put in the hours that are needed, but I don't think he's going to be putting himself at health risk like I think Quinn Snyder was. The other head coach that the Jazz are looking at is Frank Vogel. Vogel just barely got fired by the Lakers. Now, when the Lakers decided to get rid of Frank Vogel, that really ticked me off. They went from putting together a championship-type roster for him, and they went and won a championship. Like, he took the team that had the talent to do it, and they did it. And then Rob Pelinka, who's the GM of the Lakers, made the team worse every single year after that. And so, of course, they performed worse. And so Frank Vogel became a scapegoat of, oh, we're underperforming because of Frank Vogel, not because the front office did such a horrible job of building their roster. Frank Vogel has a reputation of being a great defensive coach. He had great defenses in Indiana. He had great defenses with the Lakers. So he's another guy that would be a really good option, but I kind of, you know, really like the idea of a first-time head coach for this team. Somebody with, you know, brand new ideas that's been involved in the league. They've been an assistant for some time. They've seen the way the league has ebbed and flowed, and you know, the three-pointers become more popular. Taking away the rim has become the main objective on the defensive end. You know, the mid-range has all of a sudden become a more important thing on the offensive end. All those different things that have, you know, that have evolved over the years in the NBA. My favorite candidate and the guy that I really want to get the job, but I think may get passed up because the Jazz may be looking for a different voice, you know, in the locker room, a completely different person from Quinn Snyder, but that is Alex Jensen. Alex Jensen, you know, played at the University of Utah, has been an assistant under Quinn Snyder for a long time, and has basically been Rudy Gobert's assistant coach, like his go-to guy for a long time. Alex Jensen is very smart, very calculated, a little bit of a more quiet, laid back type of guy. I think he would probably be number one on my list of who I want to be the head coach of the Jazz next year. I kind of feel like he's going to get passed up because, he's been with Quinn Snyder for so long and the team kind of wants to move in a different direction away from, where the team was under Quinn. And before I move on, it's not that Quinn Snyder did anything bad. It's just after 8 years of hearing the same thing, the message starts to get a little stale. They have the permanence of doing whatever it was that Quinn Snyder had them doing. But, the message, like I said, it becomes stale. It's just time for something new, something different. And that's why I think Alex Jensen will probably get passed over, but he'd be my number one candidate for the job. Johnny Bryant is an interesting guy. He has a great relationship with Donovan Mitchell. Donovan Mitchell made his biggest strides as a player under Johnny Bryant. I gotta tell you, I am sick and tired of the catering to Donovan Mitchell, though. Donovan Mitchell is a great player. He is. But he's not Giannis. He's not Luka. He's not one of these top five players of the entire league, a guy that can go out and win you a playoff series by himself level player. He needs other help. But the Jazz have catered to him as if he's, the greatest thing that's ever happened to the NBA. They went out and they got Dwayne Wade to join the ownership group so that he can mentor Donovan and basically help keep him in Utah. I really don't think it matters who the Jazz hire as their head coach, any of that. I think Donovan's gone in 2 years. I think he's going to force his way out in a trade to a bigger market because he, in the way the Jazz have catered to him, he thinks he's the most amazing thing ever. If Donovan wanted to commit to the team and be here for the long, long term, then okay. But I don't think that's the way it is. And that's why when we talk about, stuff going on this offseason, I would really highly consider trading Donovan Mitchell. Before he forces his own way out, I would just say, hey, it's pretty dang obvious that you don't want to be here. And Rudy does. So let's get some value out of him. But anyway, that's besides the point. Johnny Bryant is a really good coach, though. When he went to the Knicks, you could immediately see RJ Barrett become a better player working with Johnny Bryant. So he would be a really good option. It's just I really feel that if he does get hired, it's going to be because Donovan told the Jazz that they have to hire him or he's going to leave, which again, I would say fine. Leave. We'll make a trade for you. We'll bring in somebody that actually wants to be here. But anyway, the last guy that I want to talk about that I think is a serious candidate for this job is Will Hardy. There's a few reasons for this. So when Danny left the job in Boston, he put Brad Stevens in charge of the Celtics. Danny Ainge hired Brad Stevens out when he was the head coach at Butler. Danny likes all the moves that Brad Stevens did during the middle of the season, to build the roster that they have, that now they're in the finals. They're tied 2-2 with the Warriors. Like, they have a really good chance of winning a title. And Brad Stevens this summer hired Will Hardy to be an assistant coach for Ime Udoka. Will Hardy has experience coaching underneath Greg Popovich for many years. And that Greg Popovich coaching tree has a lot of big time coaches, Quinn Snyder being one of them. And so I would not be surprised to see Will Hardy be the guy picked for the job. But I tell you, there's so many candidates, and there's probably going to be more that I would not be surprised at all if it's somebody that hasn't even been listed yet, or that I just don't see as a serious candidate at this point, because the Jazz are really looking for the right guy with this hire. So with that, let's get into the questions. So I have three that I picked out that I want to answer. So first one comes from my really good friend, Sean. Sean, if you're listening to this, I hope you're doing great. But he asked the question, do I believe that Quinn Snyder will coach again? I think he will. I think he's going to take this season off, and then the next season, the 2023-2024 season, I think there's a really good chance that Quinn Snyder is coaching again. Whether that's taking over for the Spurs for Greg Popovich, or, you know, it's some completely different team, I think next summer, Quinn Snyder will be the top coaching candidate in the NBA. Unless somehow Nick Nurse or Eric Spoelstra become available, I think Quinn Snyder is probably one of the top five coaches in the NBA. And again, we'll be in demand next year if he wants to coach again. But he is such an insanely smart dude. I would not be surprised to see him want to work in the front office somewhere, be a GM, put together a team himself. I think that's part of the reason he left the Jazz, is he wanted to be the guy in charge of building the roster. I think that's the big reason that Dennis Lindsay left the Jazz, was that Quinn wanted to be in charge. He wanted to put the team together, and he never got that opportunity with the Jazz. So there's a good chance I could see Quinn Snyder becoming a GM. He could also do the whole coach GM thing, where you play both roles. Now, really the only guy that's had a lot of success with doing that has been Greg Popovich. And there's a reason for that, is when you're the coach, you want to have successful seasons every single year. Meanwhile, a GM could step back and go, okay, this year we may not be good. Next year we may not be good, but we are building these young players. We're building up these draft picks. And in 4 or 5 years, that's when we're really going to make a push for a title. A head coach, if it's their choice, they're not going to want to do that. They're not going to be cool with winning 25 games and then 31 and then, you know, slowly getting their way into the playoffs. And then hopefully we have the roster together to go try and win a title. But I do believe that Quinn Snyder will coach again. I'd say there's probably like a 70% chance that he's going to coach again. I'd say though that there's like a 100% chance. You know, we'll leave a little bit of room. 99% chance that Quinn Snyder is involved with the NBA again in some capacity. Because like I said, I think you'd be an amazing GM. I think you'd be fantastic at putting a team together, because he is seriously, like, you look at his resume, his education, the way people talk about him, he might be one of the smartest people. Well, smartest people in the NBA, but one of the smartest people in the world. Like, I think he could probably be the CEO of a major Fortune 500 company today. But anyway, so next question is, should the Jazz continue to build around Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell, or should they trade one? Which one? So my personal belief is that they should build around both of them. I think though that you have Rudy, you have Donovan, everything else needs to be long, rangy defenders, athletic defenders, very much in the same way that the Celtics have built out their roster. Oh. So, but if you're gonna get rid of one of them, now it sounds like the Jazz do not want to get rid of Donovan, which I mean, I get it, but my choice would be Donovan Mitchell. I would build this team solely around Rudy Gobert, and I would have everybody else basically be long, rangy, athletic defenders. Like, there's a trade that I saw not too long ago, a trade idea of sending Donovan Mitchell to the Thunder for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and like three first-round picks. If the Thunder were up for this, I would definitely consider if I was the Jazz, because Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, he's 2 years younger than Donovan. He's 6'6", so he's 5 inches taller. He is a great athlete. He's a good rebounder. He's a good passer. Good defender. Better defender than Donovan is. He just doesn't have that same I can go off for 50 at any time type potential that Donovan does. But all the other aspects of the game, I think he's better than Donovan at. But anyway, last question here is, if Alex Jensen doesn't get the job as the head coach, will he stick around with the Jazz? And simple answer is he's under contract. He kind of has to. Like, Danny Ainge has already said that no matter what they do with the head coaching position, Alex Jensen's going to run all the stuff during the summer. He's going to be one of their go-to guys during the draft. He's going to run the summer league, all those kinds of things. So whether he's the head coach or not, he's going to be involved with the Jazz organization this season. But with that, I'm going to go ahead and end this episode. Thank you for your questions. Again, Sean, hope you're doing great. Thank you all so much for listening. Have a great day and go Jazz.